Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Turn to the scriptures and let's read together from Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 14. So it's a lot. I'm going to read first. Let's go. Now the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Terebinth of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood at a little distance from him. He ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant, I beg of you. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and recline and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel, a mouthful of bread, and refresh and sustain your hearts before you go on farther. For that is why you have come to your servant." And they replied, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, get ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and bake cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and brought a calf tender and good and gave it to the young man to butcher it. And then Abraham hastened to prepare it. And he took the curds and the milk and the calf which he had made ready and set it before the men. And he stood by them until under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And he said, "She's here in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you when the season comes around, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening and had it at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years. It had ceased to be with Sarah as with young women. She was past the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become aged, shall I have pleasure and delight, my Lord, my husband being old also?" And the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I really bear a child when I'm so old? Is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes around, I will return to you, and Sarah shall have born a son." Can I hear a good amen? That story is enough just for us to finish it, say the benediction, and go home. Amen. But I want to recap before you see it. Recap that. Nothing, verse 14, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen? Nothing is too hard for who? Okay. Nothing is too hard for the Lord when he is truly made Lord. Amen? 2024 has been a year of extended breakthroughs. Extended breakthroughs here at Nairobi Lighthouse Church. It's been an honor participating in that blessing of ministry and just receiving. And I'm sure you too would say, yes, thank God for what you have already done thus far. The title of my message today, therefore, based on verse 14, is this: the impossible made possible. Breakthroughs extended. Amen. The impossible made possible. Breakthroughs extended. How many of you desire to see God do the impossible in your life today? Don't wait for next year. Today, right here. I join you in that as well. I can't wait for God to do what only he can do. I believe that we could all glean some vital nuggets. Nuggets of truth. As we learn from Abraham and Sarah's story and the path that led them to their breakthrough. Let us glean some important truths from this story. The path that Abraham took and Sarah in this story to his breakthrough, to their breakthrough, could very well become the path to your breakthrough. Amen? The breakthrough that you have been waiting for. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. There is a path to that breakthrough. And it's in this portion that we read. The first one, I want to begin with the first one. The first one is desire and eagerly expect God's visitation in your life. Desire and eagerly expect God's visitation in your life. I'm sure you didn't just come to church. You came to church with an expectation. And that expectation, God will fulfill. You know? So when you come to His presence, come eagerly. Desire and eagerly expect. Everybody say expect. Say expect God. Amen. See, it was just an ordinary day for Moses in the desert after 40 years there, having run from Egypt. 40 years, he's in midlife crisis. And guess what? While he's there, probably life had become normal. Life had become mundane, routine. But that day, something happened that changed the rest of his life. God appeared in a burning bush. Amen. You know the story. I won't preach it. For Abraham, the story we are reading, life was going on as usual as well. Nothing had changed. He was facing the heat of the day and decided to hide under the shadow or the shade of his tent. That was his house. He lived in tents. But there was another kind of heat, making him even more uncomfortable. More uncomfortable. The heat brought about by difficult, stubborn situations, negative circumstances, which we all face from time to time. Am I preaching to myself? In verse 2, I love this. In verse 2, gives us the key here. Abraham looked up. Come on, say, look up. Come on, tell your neighbor, look up. In the heat of your day, just like Abraham, in tough times, look up. Look up in expectation that God, the God who promised that I will never leave you, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that God is still with you. Amen. Psalms 46, I don't know whether you saw that Psalm 46 was the last quotation before we started the service today. But verse 1 says, God is our refuge. Can you read with me? God is our refuge. And not all of you are reading. God is our refuge and strength. Mighty and impenetrable to temptation. A very present and well-proved help in trouble. Can I hear an amen? God is a well-proved what? Help. Shout help. Shout help! In your trouble, when you call, he is well proved. Verse 3 says, and said, this is Abraham, he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, do not pass your servant. I beg of you, I beg you. When you find Jesus, how many of you have found Jesus in your life? Okay, I want to tell you a truth here. You have received an abundance of blessings and obtained favor from God. God expects you and I to live in this abundant and His abundant blessings. Amen? Come on, say, I'm favored of God. Now, you're not speaking like you really know you're favored. I said, I'm favored of God. I'm favored of God. Amen? Don't be like Arnold, who boarded a cruise ship, and he sailed for weeks. And then later, disembarked. And people who had been with him in that same cruise ship for so many days and weeks started asking him, where have you been during the meal times? We had buffets, great sushi. For somebody who's here today, prawns. To which he sadly replied that he hadn't paid for the food, but that he had made necessary arrangements and packed for himself some crackers, some cheese, and some nuts. One of the passengers raised his eyebrows in surprise, shook his head and said, "Sir," say with me, "Sir, didn't you realize that the meals were included in the price of the ticket that you purchased?" The truth is this. You and I have found grace. And grace means unmerited favor. Grace means G-R-A-C-E, great riches at Christ's expense. It's paid for. I said it's paid for. All your trip as a Christian is paid for. All that you go through and we will need is paid for. It's covered by the grace of God. Say amen. Your health is covered. Your peace is guaranteed. Your joy is assured. Everything you need is provided for in advance. Not when you want it, it's already provided in advance. Amen. Stop eating those cheese. Wachana na njugu karanga. Those are groundnuts. And leave that brown sugar called sukari nguru. Amen. Amen. Sometimes that's how we live. We're in difficult places and we live like the grace of God has died. Number two, demonstrate. First of all, God knew what Abraham needed and he knows what you need today. Number two, demonstrate your love and zeal for God. Demonstrate your love and zeal for God through your readiness to worship. I love the way we worship today. Just what an opportunity, what a privilege to come into the presence of God and just lift up holy hands and worship Him. So the truth is that no one can worship God for you. Have you ever figured that out? Nobody can praise God for you. I'm praising for my wife. No. Think about it. No one can bow their knee for you. Before God, you bow your own knee. None can confess that Jesus is Lord for you. You have to confess Him yourself. The Bible says, every knee, not some knees, every knee shall and every tongue shall. So God waits for you to do what only you can do, to worship Him, to bow your knee and to reverence Him. Amen. Verse 2b of that what we read. It says, when he saw, this is Moses, when he saw them, who are them? Those were the angels. God was among them. Some scholars say it was God, could have been Jesus, and two angels, because two angels were left, if you remember where they were going. Okay? When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. We need to cultivate an attitude of worship. I said we need to cultivate an attitude of worship. Amen. An attitude of worship. When you and I bow in worship before Him, things begin to change in the spirit world. I believe that as we worship, the King of Kings raises the scepter. His scepter, the scepter of His authority over our lives, causing us to stand triumphant in the face of troubles, calamities, and impossibilities. So it's not in vain when you bow. Esther went right into the presence of bowing. What happened next? She was raised and assured, what you came here for, you can have it. Amen. That's why you never treat worship lightly. Never treat coming into the presence of God lightly. Abraham didn't treat it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody once said that when we are down to the bottom, there is only one direction to go, and that's up. It doesn't matter where you find yourself, your worship will raise you. I said your worship, true worship, will raise you up. For get yourself and raise your hands and worship Him. God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. God loves to visit worshipers. Blind Bartimaeus was a worshiper. He says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That's worship. Calling him son of David was calling him the Messiah. Because the Messiah was going to be a son of David from the lineage. And watch this. He worshipped as a blind person and started running towards what he couldn't even see. But his worship got him to the miracle he needed. Amen. Say worship. The woman with the issue of blood fell at his feet. After 12 years of having trouble with doctors and no cure, one moment of worship, she was never the same again. Write this down. True worship places us in an environment for real change to occur in our lives. True worship places us in an environment for real change to occur in our lives. We begin to take on the form of the one we worship. Begin to take on the character of the one we worship. Faith rises up. Purity shines out. Amen. Blessings overflow. You know, I remember some years back in this sanctuary, I was having some problem with my left shoulder. And I was struggling. I love dancing. You know, David danced before the Lord. I love dancing before the Lord. But times of worship, I love lifting my hands. And every time it came to worship time, I would lift my hands and I would struggle and cringe because the pain was excruciating. I think I only mentioned that to my wife. But I'd say, look, I believe God is going to heal me. And I continued like that every worship. I never refused to raise my hand because I was in pain. I raised it up in pain for several Sundays, many Sundays. One day I came to a service just like this, raised my hands, worshipped, and then I realized I didn't feel any pain. So I raised it up again and I realized I'm healed. Just in the presence of God, worshiping him can bring a miracle into your life. Remember a lady when I was leading the service and we had just ended praise and I said something. She was, I think, on this side, and I said something in that direction. And I said, God, you know, we're just, you know how you finish the praise. And I don't even know what I said, but I was talking about God just doing something extraordinary. She was there standing because we hadn't asked them to sit. Announcements are going to follow. And she just said she believed and she received. And a fire started burning in her body, all of her body. She had a back problem for about 20 years. She could never bend. She could never do any heavy duty work. She said that fire stayed on her the whole service. She went home, started doing work and things. She didn't even realize that she had worked for more than an hour, bending, putting things in place in her kitchen, until later she said, "Hey, how did I do?" She said, "Hey, I'm healed. Over 20 years, I couldn't bend, but now I can bend." Never take it for granted that you can bend. Amen. Hallelujah. God let my love and zeal for you be demonstrated in my readiness to worship you. Finally, number three, always display a right attitude and action. Always display a right attitude and before God. And can I add, even others? Amen. Abraham, right attitude. Abraham said, attitude and action. Abraham and Sarah displayed an attitude of honor, gratitude, and humility before God. Look at the words that are used to describe this reality in Abraham and Sarah's life in the passage. Verse 2 says, he hurried. See, people never hurry for nothing. The people who hurry are hurrying because there's a reason to hurry. He hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, that's the Lord, the angels, and bowed low to the ground. Notice that they were a little distance from the tent. He didn't have to hurry. They were just a little distance. That means he could have just walked to them. Why did he not? Because he never wanted to miss the opportunity. Sometimes we can be the house of God and we need to take action and we're not in a hurry and we miss the opportunity. We miss the blessing. The privilege is gone. Opportunity has a short shelf life. In a moment, it's gone if you do not hurry to take it. Abram hurried. Notice verse 6 says, he hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Verse 7, then he ran. This is an old man, 99 years of age. He's hurrying out. He's bowing. He's coming back. He's hurrying to Sarah. Then he's come back. Then he ran, verse 7, he ran to the herd to pick a tender calf so that he can prepare it. And he said, and he hurriedly prepared it. This is not just written so that we can learn English. Amen? God visits are on purpose. God's visits are on purpose, not accidental. Today the Lord is here, not by accident, but on purpose. He's watching you. He's weighing your actions and your attitude to see how he could bless you. Amen? Don't waste his time. Tell your neighbor, don't waste God's time. He's always doing something. He knows what he's doing. He visited Abraham on purpose. He is here on purpose to show himself mighty on your behalf. In spite of all that Abraham and Sarah were facing, they kept their head straight and their attitude right with God and one another. Amen? See, your breakthrough is not just about you and God. It's also about you and others. Your attitude towards others as well. How are you relating with other people? You know, Sarah still called Abraham, Lord. So he says, my Lord. Amen. Listen to this. Avoid the pressure to impress God. Avoid the pressure to impress God. When we want to impress God, we end up lying. We are not real. Be real. Don't put up a show. He already knows the truth before we even speak or even act. Abraham gave God the best from what he had. In the NIV Bible, the word little appears several times in this passage. Verse 4, let a little water be brought. You see, he didn't lie. He said, I have a little water to give you, you 3 men. Just a little water. He said, I don't have a lot of bread. Verse 5 in the Amplified says, I will bring you a little morsel, mouthful. The Amplified says, mouthful for 3 men. That's not a lot of food. It doesn't sound like it. To refresh and to sustain your hearts before you go on further. You see, this is a good statement. When you serve God and refresh him, God cannot help but serve you and refresh you. In a way that only he can. Amen? And he will never do what you can do for yourself. But will make the impossible possible. When we care for what he cares for what we care for. And here's the climax. Verse 10, the Amplified. The Lord said, I will surely return to you when the season comes around. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. See, this prophecy is being repeated. And this was, I think, was verse 14 was the 9th time it had been spoken back to them. What a refreshing, grace-filled moment for Abraham and Sarah. God knows when you need to hear his word again to bring you comfort and strength when you need it. May God strengthen you wherever you are. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let this encourage you and remind you that you're just round the corner to your breakthrough. There are seasons in life, many seasons in life, but we must go through them, not stay in them. We don't camp there. We must keep moving on in faith and obedience to our destiny. Amen? You will reach your destiny. Sometimes he'll visit you, and he does it like he visited Abraham, just to remind him that it's not over until it's over, and it's not over. Amen. Some of you are getting ready to give birth to what God promised you many years ago. Just like Joseph, bringing your dream to reality. Somebody here is about to step out of some impossibility into God-given possibility. Promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west, but from the Lord, north. It comes from the Lord. Amen. Not from charity sweepstakes, but from the Lord. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, shout joy, comes in the morning. Things are changing, Nairobi Lighthouse Church. God has promised that they will change. In Genesis 8:22, he says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That means there will always be change. And your season is about to change in Jesus' name. I'm prophesying. Amen. If you can receive it, take it. Amen. In this scripture, if it is true, your night must give way to day. Your winter must give way to warmer weather, summer. Cold must give way to heat. Sorrow must give way to joy. Sowing must give way to reaping. Amen. It doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances are. As long as you believe, shout believe. Shout I believe. All things are possible. Amen. Can you give Jesus a hand clap of praise? All things are what? Possible. That means the impossible will be made possible. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, and I believe that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Three scriptures as we close. Numbers 23 verse 11. Can you read it with me? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. 2 Kings 4:16. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Amen. Nothing is too hard for you. Mark chapter 5 verse 35 and 36. Jairus was waiting. He had a daughter who is dying. He was waiting on the Lord. Waiting while he was still ministering for the Lord to go with him and heal his sick daughter. While he is still there, the message came from those who had come from home. Your daughter, Jairus, they told him, your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. And I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid of what you're going through. Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Amen. Father, we want to thank you. Come on, let's stand quickly. Father, we want to thank you that you're the God of impossibility. Nothing is too hard for you. Pray right now, God. Come on. If you're here and you've received this message, this is how I want to end. I want you to raise your hand to God, not to anybody else. And I want you to worship him from your heart. That impossibility right now is going to become possibility. You're getting closer to your breakthrough more than you think. It's right around the corner of your worship. It's right around the corner of your adoration. It's right around. I don't care how big it is, how impossible. In one case, Abraham, the body was gone. The body could be fertile, and Sarah. But then we move on to Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. At least Abraham and Sarah had a life. They just couldn't have a child. God took it to the extreme so that nobody will have an excuse. God, you cannot meet my need. There's no need God cannot meet. Father, right now, stretch your hands. I pray for these needs. Every expression of worship right now raised before you. And I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, In the name above every other name, every knee shall bow. Every enemy of your people, just like Abraham's enemy. Lord, I pray even now, and Sarah's enemy. Lord, rebuke the devourer, overthrow the agenda of the enemy. Raise the scepter, oh God, of your authority over the troubles of God's people, of our homes, of our families, of our businesses, over the work of our hands. Overthrow Satan, oh God, overthrow his works, Lord, and his lies, and come and reign supreme as we worship and declare you, Lord, in spite of our circumstances, as negative as they may be, we proclaim your lordship. We say, Jesus is Lord. All things are possible. All things, not some things. All things are possible to them that believe. Can you give God praise for your victory? Give him praise for your miracle. Give him praise. Somebody ought to dance and praise the Lord. If you are sick, bend. If there's something you couldn't do, do it. You're in the presence of God. There's nothing. There's no shame in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you give Jesus praise? One more version of praise. Come on, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Then, God bless you.